Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Thanks for joining us on the listener-supported service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois, AM 580. It's time now for our opening commodity market report. And with that summary, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Thank you, Dan. And good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, March wheat opened at 9.79, down 2.5 on the open. May, 9.91, down 2. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 9.31, down 9.5 on the open. May, 9.44, down 12.5. July, 8.55, down 9. September, 8.64, down 8.75. December, 8.75, down 10.5 on the open. March corn opened at 4.98.5, down 3.5 on the open. May, 5.10.5, down 4.25. July, 5.19.5, down 5.75. September, 5.18, down 3.25. December, 5.15.5, down 5.5. March, 5.24, down 3.25. May, 5.28.5, down 3. In July of 2009, 5.32.5, down 2.5 on the open. March beans open at 12.63, down 8 on the open. May, 12.81, down 10. July, 12.98, down 7.5. August, 13.05, up 5. November, 12.61, down 9 on the open. March soybean meal open at 340.50, down 380 on the open. May, 348.20, down 280. March soybean oil open at 52.95, down 4 on the open. May, 53.58, down 12. CME livestock January feeders open at 97.50, up 45 on the open. February live cattle 91, up 10. February lean hogs 55.40, up 20. And February bellies 84.30, up 10 on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Earlier this week, China pulled a 180 on food and energy commodities. What did they do, and what are the implications for old and new crop corn and beans here in the U.S.?
Well, they are expected to raise prices domestically over there in key food and meat categories, and there's a plan of action that's been put in place that's supposed to be announced within the next 10 working days, whether the central government is going to approve of what the agencies recommend or not. And essentially what they're doing is trying to choke off demand, Dave. And I think they're also, by doing this and by doing the 180-degree turnabout like you referenced, I think they're trying to tap into the huge savings that the Chinese consumers have. I guess if I were in their shoes, I probably would have done it the exact same way as opposed to what they initially announced just 3 working days prior to this week and this week's announcement, and that was they were going to freeze prices, keep a price ceiling in place, and not let them go up. And all that does is keep your demand strong, and it tells your supply side and your producers domestically there that their profits are going to suffer as a result of it. So I think when it came right down, push came to shove, the central government probably said to themselves, we'd rather have people complaining about paying for higher priced food, but yet still being able to get it, versus having people complaining with their stomachs empty about food shortages because we didn't slow the demand down fast enough. So I think it was the right policy in terms of what they need to do in the short term. I'm no China expert, and I want to stress that, but I think when we look at it and what analysis we have done on the economy over there, the savings rate in the Chinese consumers is the world's highest right now. So except for the poor people and the farmers over there, their populace can't afford a 10% price hike in our view.
Yesterday, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke testified before Congress, as you looked at his testimony and read about it? What are the key features for grains?
Well, I think the key feature is they're going to continue to inflate the markets with dollar liquidity. And whether it's a fiscal stimulus that Bernanke signs off on and the White House signs off on, and it makes the Congress pleased on an election year, and I think that's a lot of what happened here. But when you talk about $100 billion being pushed into the economy, that's a sizable amount of money in the short term, and it's probably going to continue to keep interest rates very, very low. But I think it also probably adds to the weakness of the dollar, because what you're essentially saying is I'm going to add more liquidity and more dollars, and that's going to make our balance of payments and our budget deficit even worse. Where are we going to get this $100 billion is the big question that I would have right now. Haven't seen exactly where that's going to come from. And if that comes off the top and we're not cutting $100 billion somewhere else, that's going to add to our budget problems, and that budget problems are, you know, translated into the weak dollar. So it's probably going to continue to soften the dollar. It's probably going to be nice short-term for commodities because of the inflationary effect and the weak dollar effect. But medium-term, I think it stokes the fire that we're going to have to pay a bigger price down the road, unfortunately.
Is there a double top in crude oil? And if so, could you see crude oil prices trading around 85?
I suspect that we could see it go down to 85, Dave, because we have lost our 50-day moving average. I actually think that that's probably a big thing going on in the grain markets right now, other than just the beans giving way after the report and the psychology there. But I think all hedgers and agricultural producers and speculators would probably be wise to look at an April crude chart right now, because if we do the same thing in beans that we did in crude oil, in other words, we take out the short-term trend and the short-term moving average, you noted how the market went down very casually, but it eroded quite nicely, and now all of a sudden we're down below the 50-day moving average, and the chart looks more like a sideways pattern at best. So I think you're probably right that the downside is possibly 85. I think we're getting into this time period where seasonally you have a weaker crude oil market. They usually in the last 2 years, right after the first year, have tried to sell crude oil off, and then they've seen whether it can bounce and whether it hits support or not. So you're probably in a timing and a seasonality where you're going to try and test the downside here. But the more importantly, what the April crude looks like, I think the beans may be looking like in a few weeks, if we do take out the short-term trend lines and the short-term moving averages. 10-day in the March beans has already been taken out, and we're bouncing off that trend line, the four-month trend line, drawn off the October lows currently today. So it's a real key day here, and a lot of the timing people in Chicago and technical people have been talking about a key timing feature here in the beans as well.
Probably also throw that 20-day moving average into the mix for consideration on the March chart at 1250 and a half.
Correct. The quant funds seem like they like the 10s, the 20s, and the 50s at this point. And you know, they change those around based upon their optimization of their charts, but right now that's exactly right.
Turn your attention to the corn, where overnight we came very close to filling that gap left over from last Friday. We fill that gap, how bearish is that? Is that very bearish?
I think the bearishness in corn is going to rest with the wheat market, actually, Dave, because we've got a wheat-corn spread of $4.30 March right now. And so we are still believing, we believe before the report, and we believe even after the report, even more so, that the wheat's the leader here, because we do have a deficiency of high-quality wheat. We have very few hard red winter wheat acres, and we probably don't have much of a weather premium, believe it or not, in the wheat market right now. And so if the corn is going to go lower, we think that's probably going to be wheat-led. And we think that if the corn's going to stand up here on the technicals and on their 10-day moving average and on their trend lines, much like the beans, it's probably going to be led by the wheat here in the short term. Because I think one thing has to happen with the wheat-corn spread like we're looking at right now. Either the wheat's going to go lower or the corn's going to go higher. If the wheat stays up this high, I think that just generates more buying in the future here for the corn market. So, you know, the corn has also probably fought the battle of the beans also, because of the acreage play and the sensitivity that those two have had recently. And it seems as though this week, especially when we got such a good export sale figure from the corn market, they didn't really want to go up, and new buyers didn't really come in based upon our EFG contacts yesterday. It was more short covering on the early part of the day, and I think that can be attributed somewhat to the bean weakness here. So corn is probably going to be a follower of both wheat and beans, but there's no question the demand and the weaker dollar and the livestock side of things still say there's probably limited downside here, and that there are shocks to the upside probably still coming down the road if the wheat doesn't lose its bearings here.
I want to go back to the soybeans and ask you whether or not in the spreads you feel that old crop widens out to new crop.
I think it would make sense fundamentally. It sure seems to us that the weather has in South America has allowed an aversion of a crisis in beans, whereas in Argentina, the corn damage has been done. And I personally think that in the corn, those export sales were so big yesterday. I think part of that's going to be more routine because there's probably some Asian buyers that usually go to Argentina to book needs. They're now coming to us because the damage has been done in the corn crop in Argentina. But beans, you can't really see that yet. There are some lower figures out there. I think the lowest I've seen, the most recent one, was Solaris at about 59 million tons. That's probably low enough right now, I would suspect. And if you add Paraguay and Brazil and Argentina all together, I think they're probably still on track for almost 100 million metric ton crops. So given that and given the acreage issues and the beans and the fact that we probably aren't getting enough bean acres after we saw the winter wheat acres number report, you're probably still on track for needing some more bean acres and keeping that new crop bean trading at a premium. But I certainly would not be recommending a bear spread in beans right now. I think that would be probably the easiest thing to rip somebody's head off if we get a shock out of South America or a big purchase by China that maybe was canceled in Brazil and put over into our Gulf. I just don't think that's a good spread to trade right now.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. You're listening to WILO Urbana.